This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So big data isn't just a buzzword anymore. With the vast amount of data being produced in real time, there is a huge demand for people with skills to manage, analyze, and help organizations to use this data effectively. In effort to accelerate this growth, the Center of Applied Data Science has entered into a strategic collaboration with Coursera, the largest massive open-only course or MOOC platform in the world, that hopes to pave the way for working adults and professionals to capitalize on data science online courses. This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. And to understand all of this, with me in the studio is...
My name is Cham Tat In, and I'm currently the Managing Director for the Center for Applied Data Science, or CADS in short. Prior to CADS, I was actually doing venture advisory role for startup companies in fintech, telco, and also companies that are doing blockchain development. And before that, I was a Managing Director for EMC Malaysia, and I spent a total of more than 30 years managing American multinationals, including Sun Microsystems, Compaq Computer, and a number of telco companies.
And in Compaq was like in year 2004 or 1994.
To be precise, it was 1999.
That's right, a long time, Cham.
Right at the about the end of the dot-com boom.
Yeah.
About that.
Since you have many years in the technology space and you've seen trends throughout the space, let's talk a little bit about what's happening currently here in Malaysia. The Center of Applied Data Science clearly is working with, you know, data scientists, I guess. So tell me about what's happening with the current market. Are we creating enough? Is there enough demand? What's going on?
Well, let's start by looking at the demand for data scientists or data analytics professionals. If you look at the businesses today, right, so what's happening is they are getting more competitive and the market dynamics are changing rapidly. And on top of that, you constantly have to watch out whether disruptive business models are coming into your competitive landscape. Mm. You've seen companies closing or companies just disappear off the landscape because of disruptive business models. So to stay on top of all these challenges, this is where you need to constantly look at the real-time data for your company. Now, when I say real-time data, it is not just only about financial data or transactional data, which we are all accustomed to, but, for example, media data coming from social media, Facebook, what are people saying about your company, Twitter, what are people saying about you, right? So there is this constant bombardment of data about your company that's coming to you. So how do you deal with this data? And this is where the profession of data analytics or data science professionals or data professionals, because sometimes we use it interchangeably, comes about, right? And this is where the demand is creating a pool of people that we need to support the businesses. Now, just statistics-wise, by 2020, job listings for data scientists and data analytics, we're talking about in excess of more than 2 million positions. And according to McKinsey and Company, the global demand for data scientists or data professionals will outstrip the supply by the ratio of 2-1. Mm. So clearly, we are in a position where there is going to be a gap in terms of meeting the needs of data professionals. Mm.
But, people are already using some sort of big data analytics within their business. We are seeing, real cases of companies utilizing it and growing their business. It's not a fairly new thing, though. So what are we lacking of? Is it that's just not enough talent to go around at this point of time?
I think it's... Talent is one thing. Talent in terms of technical competencies is one thing. The other thing is, you see, big data is not just about technology. You're talking about the decision-making culture in the company, right? So management has to commit to a data-driven kind of decision-making. So in other words, you're data sensitive, right? You're constantly looking at data about how your business is performing, how your competitors are performing. It's no longer those, you know, once a month report that you get, you know, out of a Bash system or out of an ERP system, but you constantly have to look at it on a maybe some, for some businesses could be on an hourly basis, for some it could be on a daily basis. So first you have the management part in terms of the culture of the company, right? Is this a data-driven decision-making company? Then we talk about the processes. Are the processes supporting the company in a way that it encourages decision-making to being data-driven? Then comes the people, right, in terms of the technical competencies. And this is where today a lot of focus has been in terms of the people, in terms of developing the technical resources. But I submit to you that it is more than just the technical resources. It is inclusive of the management, the decision makers, the technical people, and the people who are supporting the business across the different processes.
Mm. And in Malaysia's context overall, where are we on that scale? Are we still the 101, trying to understand, get the mindset changed to understand this is going to happen, disruption is going to happen, or have we moved to that, you know, different stage now already?
I think it's a mixed situation. I've seen companies, so in my experience as a venture advisor to some of the startups, I've seen some very interesting data analytics company that constantly look at, for example, grocery information online on the basis of what products are moving, and they can customize on the spot, you know, in terms of what should they make, offers they should make online and all that. I've seen really, really good companies. On the other hand, I've seen companies struggling to even understand what to make of the data that they're getting. So we see a mixture of situation in Malaysia. And obviously, it is the intent of CATS or the Centre for Applied Data Science to help organisations move towards a situation where they become more data-driven in their decision-making.
Mm. So, which leads me to my next question, and why do you exist? Why does CAD exist?
So, that's an interesting question because, you know, as I've explained earlier, right, that the knowledge gap that we are facing with regards to the data analytics or data scientists, this is precisely where CATS fit in, right? So CATS is ASEAN's first and only one-stop platform and center of excellence to empower the next generation of data professionals. Now, CATS is committed to deliver the highest standard in data science education, and it aims to cultivate and mentor future data professionals to contribute effectively to organizations in Malaysia and ASEAN. So we are talking not just enabling skills in terms of technical, but mentoring them and guiding them and nurturing them so that they fit into the industry when they graduate from CATS. Now, how do we do this? You see, we do this through a series of international collaborations, offering high-quality programs with institutions such as the Data Incubator that is based out of New York, for our Data Incubator program. And then with Harvard Business School, which is providing executive education for top-level executives who wish to understand what big data analytics is all about and its relevance to their business. So CAT's objective is really to bridge the knowledge gap that we currently have and address the skill set required by the industry to meet the Malaysian government's objective of at least 20,000 data professionals by 2020 and 2,000 data scientists.
Mm. And what's the progress so far?
So in terms of CATS, you know, I'm pretty happy with the progress because first, from the framework point of view, we've achieved the partnering that we require to put in place the framework. Like I said, Harvard Business School to provide the executive level education, Data Incubator to provide the technical competencies. The three technical streams are basically data analysts, data scientists, and data engineering, right? And then we talk about an online education, right, through Coursera, which I'll talk a little bit about that later on. And all these together forming the framework to deliver the data science program to meet the objectives that I stated earlier, right? Now, through all these initiatives and collaborations so far, in 2017, CATS has nurtured about more than 300 over data professionals. So I think pretty good, considering that we're only 1 year into the program. Mm.
And the goal is to generate how many of data
so
scientists?
So if you look at the number that we're talking about for the country, right? So we're looking at about supporting the country at least 30% of that number.
I'm speaking to Chiam Tat In. He's the managing director of CADS. And after the break, we'll find out what are some of the skill set that's needed in today's workforce that can complement and also fully utilize this digital boom. You're listening to BFM 89.9.
Breakfast for Masters, BFM 89.9.
Hey, Jeff Sandu here, and my guest for today is Chiam Tat In. He's the Managing Director for CADS, or the Centre of Applied Data Science. We're talking about the reasons of CADS' existence earlier on and what is their role and your goals. Chiam, earlier you mentioned that you're hoping to support at least 30% of Malaysia's data scientist role that we need. What kind of skill sets do you think is needed here to make this possible? What's the gap in the education sector that you're filling up to make that happen?
So the thing about what's happening today is big data is actually quite a new field, right? So, and really the universities, if you look at what the situation today are, they will not be able to deliver, the kind of training that will upskill or train someone up to the level that the industry wants in terms of, the career in a data science career as a data professional, right? So on top of that, now you're talking about within organizations today, there are people mostly well tuned to the traditional IT systems, right? Which again requires upskilling and reskilling in other words, right? And so this is where the challenge comes in, right? Because in the field of data science and data analytics, you're looking at the need for perhaps a background in mathematics, statistics, and programming, where we then nurture them and we help build up these skills in an area that will best address the requirements for the industry.
Mm. Is upskilling and reskilling a big challenge in Malaysia in trying to get them? You know, I'm sure there's a buy-in from organizations, but is the getting the mindset to really make them work
so,
in that upskilling?
So we're seeing we're seeing two schools of thoughts here, right? The younger ones, I think, are pretty eager to learn, because basically I think some of them do see the potential of a career in big data, because you're talking about not just a career in Malaysia, because you're talking about a shortage across the world, across every country. So they can see the opportunity not just in Malaysia but across the world, where they can potentially move to other countries to do this role, which is going to be very, very exciting and interesting in the future. Now, within organizations today, where you have people who have been in industry for some time, this is where the buy-in comes in, right? Because you need to make commitment. Now, organizations need to invest, right? They need to invest in terms of money to train up their people, in terms of the management decision-making style. Like I mentioned earlier, you've got to be a data-driven organization. The commitment of the people to go through the training programs and do the job. So you're talking of some potential resistance in certain parts of certain organization to get people moving in the traditional type of companies. Mm-hmm. But I think in the startups, in the so-called maybe younger generation who sees the potential of big data, we're seeing a lot of them going through programs in big data as a data professional.
When you operate, do you operate as in a nimble and agile way like the startups? Or because I would assume most of your people would come from the traditional, large enterprise who move slowly, there's many layers. So how do you operate then, being you have to cater to like two kinds of, different school of thoughts that you mentioned?
Well, we are an interesting company, right? We are very agile. We are basically a startup company. We like to look at ourselves as a startup that is agile, that is meeting the needs of the industry in a very responsive manner, in a, you know, constantly scouting out for new things, new technologies, new ways of doing things, new ways of addressing the market. You know, I used to have the joke that when I joined the company, I just raised the average age of the company. But you know, for me again, you know, my passion is with this. It is building you know, talents. It is building the next generation of people for the nation, and that's the reason why I joined CATS, because I you know, for me it's about nurturing the younger. Adults, younger working adults, to make sure that we've got the right resources in place to bring this nation to the next level.
Mm. How does CADS now keep itself updated when you talk about, you know, you're also agile, you're nimble, but, you know, the technology space is moving really fast. And that's why I guess universities are struggling to, you know, keep up with the demands that the industry needs, right? So how do you sort of, you know, keep yourself in check to know that, like, by the time, you know, we are done with this course, this is still relevant, because the big data thing has been around for a number of years. Now we're seeing more demand of, you know, blockchain engineers and stuff. So how are you keeping up with that?
So the main principle is we do not remain presumptuous about things. We're constantly scouting how, for example, new technologies are affecting big data, and how big data is affecting other you know, businesses and technologies. So we always look at what's new, for example, artificial intelligence, IoT, and how does that drive big data. So we remain very focused that we are a big data company, and we are a company that enables people and companies. So very focused in what we do. And because of that, when we look at things around us, when we look at changes, we look at technologies, we try to fit them into how this whole scheme of big data, addresses our business. For example, we take IoT, for example, right? So IoT is going to generate a lot of data. Now, do we become an IoT company? Well, we look at the IoT from the angle of big data. In other words, we will enable organizations to use the amount of data that's coming in from IoT and analyze it and make maybe perhaps prescriptive decision-making or you know, just plain decision-making, but based on data coming from the IoT analysis. Mm.
Data is definitely the key for any business, you know, when they are, even if traditional businesses, data is still somewhat a key to them. With that though, like how does it work when we seem to be consumers of, you know, new device, new technology, whether it's social media or whether it's, you know, consumption of you know, streaming services. We are very much a consumer. We haven't reached that stage of, you know, generators yet. When you look at what's happening around the region, they seem to be shifting. The mindset of the younger millennials, they seem to be hungry, and they understand that it's not just about consuming, it's about generating as well. Is that shift happening now?
Again, like I said earlier, I see two sets of companies here, right? The startup companies, the young companies, you know, that are coming on stream, the fintechs, the so-called mobile players. We're seeing them constantly, right, looking at the social media space, looking at the marketplace in terms of, you know, how are they competing, what products are coming out. So they're very sensitive to data. So this perhaps they are a generation that is, you know, taking advantage of what's going on in the industry. Now, traditional business, maybe because of the pure size or cultural, you know, an ingrained culture, being comfortable, you know, perhaps they are in a monopolistic situation, or maybe there are not many competitors. We find that they struggle. They struggle with the idea of what data to look for. Now, bearing in mind, like I said earlier, data is there everywhere. It's just whether you're aware of them or whether you're constantly looking at them. For example, if you're in a telco, for example, right? Data is everywhere. For example, where, you know, in this building, you know, every one of us carry a mobile phone, right? The location of all of us are known. So if you're a telco, you can look at this data and say, analyze the data and say, where do people of a certain stature always go to for, say, lunch or dinner? And that information that you gather, you can sell it to restaurants, to marketing companies, for them to position the kind of restaurant in a particular setting, particular environment. So there's a lot of data that's actually out there. It's whether you are constantly, like I said, keeping a mindset that's data-driven. Because when you're data-driven, you look at data differently, right? You're constantly being intuitive. You're learning, you're experiencing. What next? What next? What next? And that, I think, is what is going to drive not just the startup, but the traditional companies to compete effectively in the international marketplace. Bearing in mind, we're going to see big players coming in. Guys like Alibaba, mm-hmm. some of the big players.
Well, they're already here with the City Brain project
exactly.
in KL
and
stuff.
And
right?
you look at the amount of data they're generating, the amount of data they're analyzing. Facebook, right? The amount of analysis they do on the data. Google, right? Mm. I mean, when you do a search, have you noticed, right? You do a search on Google for, let's say, a particular subject, and all of a sudden, your Facebook, your everything that appears to be the thing that you just searched like a couple of minutes ago, right?
Yeah.
This is all analytics.
Mm.
This is all about being sensitive to data and using data for your competitive advantage.
Mm. I'm speaking to Chamtat In. He's the Managing Director of CADS. And up next, we'll talk about your partnership with Coursera and how this is helping to create more data professionals. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
And we're back on the final part of my chat with Chamtat In. He's the Managing Director of CADS. We've been talking about the reason of CADS' existence, what's been happening in the data industry in terms of talent, how CADS is helping to create more data scientists and professionals. And part of this journey is the partnership with Coursera. Tell me about this partnership, Cham.
So with Coursera, what we're doing is, we recognize there's a limitation when you have to attend classes. So not everyone can take 3 days off in a week to attend classes, right? So Coursera, which is basically the largest massive open online course platform in the world, allows us to bring all these courses about data science and related subjects or related topics to working professionals and students in Malaysia, right? Without leaving their office, they can do it at their own pace. So they are given 1 year to complete a program, which consists of 11 courses. And with that, what we're bringing is top-notch programs from some of the top universities in the world to Malaysians who are working professionals or students. That basically is enabling them to skill in a data science professional without having to be in a classroom or without leaving the country.
Mm. And how long would generally the whole process or the course would take?
Like I said earlier, it's a one-year program.
One year.
It consists of 11 courses. And they do it at their own pace. And every week, we assign a tutor. There's a one-hour tutor or a mentor that will help them. And that's the differentiation, really. Instead of just sitting in front of a terminal for the week or for the day, you get a mentor or a tutor at the end of the week that will guide you along your one-year duration.
And what kind of levels are you sort of receiving at this point in time in terms of the level of proficiency in this certain subject?
I think we're getting a good reception in terms of... but primarily, it's been enterprise customers. So I'm hoping that... Or rather, we're going to do more marketing towards the students and the younger... SMB kind of environment professionals, right? Because, right now we're seeing a lot of traction in terms of professionals from big enterprise companies, maybe because there's a need for big data professionals there. So now we are ramping up our marketing engine to drive this awareness among the SMBs, the students, university students, or aspiring data professionals who are coming on stream.
Mm. And you also do upskilling and reskilling of individuals, employees already within a certain structure. So how does that work? How does the program work with people who are your reskilling?
Right. So we've got programs where we work with large organizations, right? So what we do is we take the profile of the employees in those organizations, we run it through our system, and then we come up with a report that kind of tells you where the skill gaps are.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come up with a skill enablement program that is tailored to the individuals, basically to enhance, because each one could be at different levels in terms of the understanding of the big data requirements. So by having a customized assessment and program, we basically will be able to reskill and upskill employees from some of these big organizations.
You also have a partnership with ADEX. Tell me about that. Like, what's the, I'm sure both of y'all are working with the data anyway. Right. So how, what's this partnership about?
So CATS is a partner to ADEX, right? So, and I mean, just like there are many training companies who are partners to ADEX and there are multinationals, technology partners in big data who are all partners to ADEX. So CATS is basically the delivery arm. So we are the enablement arm of ADEX in delivering the 20,000 data professionals that that we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm. And what's the roadmap ahead for 2018? Like, what's the projects lined up? What do you plan to do for?
So, like I said earlier, we are constantly looking at global leading organizations to partner with. Mm-hmm. So we're building our strategic partnerships with more companies around the world, and of course, constantly looking at how we deliver our programs, right? Innovative way of delivering our programs. So we're constantly scouting the world for innovations, companies that do things differently. Mm. We're constantly
particular sector? Because data applies to many different sectors, even agriculture all the way to telco, banking. Any particular sector that you're aiming for?
So in particular focus will be telco and fintech, because these are the major areas that we see big data applications coming on stream. We see a lot of need for big data.
Mm. Are they not using already by now?
Well, I mean, the scope is pretty broad in a sense. Like I said, for example, today, if you are talking of a mobile company, right, your base stations are sending data to, you know, what do you do with the data, right? Because there are many ways you can analyze the data, right? You can analyze the data to make it more efficient in terms of coverage, or you can look at the data and say, how do I, like, for example, the example I gave earlier, where do people of a certain age group go to, right? And then how do we target the kind of shops, the kind of businesses, the kind of restaurants that should be in around that area or mm-hmm. that particular shopping complex? So there's a massive amount of things that you can do with big data analytics. And I think the important thing is the way CATS is driving this is, you know, while enabling companies in terms of our training programs and so on, we're also looking at how do we advise them, right? In terms of, you know, where do you apply this big data, right? Mm. What do you look for, right? So I think the scope is just so broad for us, mm. and it's pretty interesting to be where we are today.
And we could use data for so many things, like you mentioned some of the examples that you gave. I would just want to touch a little bit on privacy of this data as well, because if we didn't have any issue with privacy, obviously, by now we would see a very different world. We could use data for so many things, tracking an individual, where it goes, and, you know, sending them information. But there is that layer of privacy that has been set in place even here in Malaysia with PDPA. Has that sort of put a dent in, you know, the growth of what we could do with big data analytics? And how are we working in around trying to, one is to protect the user, and two is also trying to give them the benefit of, you know, having this data shared with certain companies?
So from my experience, having been in some of the large multinationals, I've seen that, you know, in terms of security, in terms of some of the level of protection, I think some of the large companies do have a certain level of protection in terms of privacy or security threat to information. I think we, you know, if you look at the analytics point of view, I mean, you know, we do not necessarily have to get down to some of the level of data that perhaps names or identity card and all that. We can look at data from a general perspective, right? Because what we're looking for is a set of trends, a set of information that points to a conclusion or a correlation. So I don't need to know a person's details when I look at big data analytics. So I think generally, I think there is enough protection in terms of securing the information, and there's also enough awareness in terms of what really do we look at big data for. Right? So it's not like someone constantly wanting to look at personalized information and so on, because generally, like I said, it's all about a trend, it's all about correlation, it's all trying to figure out what exactly do we do with this group of information that we gather.
And it leads me to my last question then. For those companies who are looking to find ways to grow their business and they're looking at big data analytics to make certain decisions for them, where should they begin in this journey?
I think start with looking at your business, right? In terms of, you need to know what is out there. Who are you competing against? The kind of information that is constantly coming into you, the kind of information, are you collecting any information? Are you getting any data out there? What are people saying about the company? So customer service information is very important. Blog, are you reading the blog about your company? So a lot of these, what I call non-structured data, now, tends to be, companies tend to kind of forget about them because we tend to focus on the financials, the so-called marketing type of information, where we kind of forget about the so-called unstructured data that is out there. You got to start having a discipline of scanning for information about the company all across the web, right, and including the social media and so on. And within the organization, you've got to start having a chief transformation officer or someone who's going to drive the transformational thinking and has enough power, executive power, to make the changes, to make the transformational thinking, and then do a skill assessment across your organization in terms of the people that you have today, in terms of the need to upskill and reskill some of these resources, or bring in people, bring in young talents, bring in people who are data-minded, who are data professionals into the organization. And then, you know, from that onwards, look at where you prioritize, right? Because there are many areas you can look at big data for. So I don't think you can solve the whole world's problem in one day. So prioritize in terms of what will make the biggest impact to you from a business point of view. And then start looking at how what big data can do and constantly monitor the progress when you start implementing and big data. Now, bearing in mind, this is a process that needs to go on and on. It's not a program that has a start and end date. It's got to be part of your culture. It's got to be part of your organizational culture. It's got to be part of the agility of the organization. It's got to be the part of the development of the organization for you to remain relevant, clearly. Because if you look at the world today, you know, what I worry most, if I look at the landscape today, is disruptive business model. Because overnight, you know, a supermarket chain can just disappear because, you know, with a big online grocery store coming in, you can just disappear overnight. So that scares me, right? And I think that is enough to warrant people looking at this seriously.
And it's not just the role to drive this, you know, mindset shift. It's not just the CTO's role. It can also be the CFO, the CMO.
Yes.
It's marketing, finance. Every sort of head in their divisions can empower this growth.
Exactly.
So that also then leads. So there was a huge surge of the need of chief data scientists in, you know, organizations. They were looking at, you know, we need to empower someone with that mindset. Is that still a thing? Because it seems like it's not working anymore to have just that one individual whose title is a chief data scientist in this company. And it feels like that alone is not enough. Is that still a correct sort of way to look into data scientists' role?
So I think the clarity of the role is very important when you look at putting someone as a chief data scientist, because, you know, what you're looking for is someone who not just only have the technical ability, but the soft skills, the soft skills to interact with the other executives in the organization and to convince people. But there's a lot of convincing work to be done, and there's a lot of hand-holding to be done, because not everyone is at the same level in terms of understanding data within the organization. So as a chief data scientist, and this is what's important, because in some of the interaction I have with them is, I see, you know, the extremes, right, where some are so technical, they speak a language that only they understand. And then on the other hand, we have people who are very successful, people who are good at being a chief data scientist, but they are able to relate at a top executive level. They are able to take the technical language and put it in a way where executives understand what it means to actually look at big data.
And you know, with that, 2018, exciting year ahead?
Well, I think this is going to be one of the most exciting year in the history, because I've seen technology trends over the past many years, And I've never seen one where things move so fast. It's almost like, you know, in the olden days, we tend to look at, say, the development of a chip, for example. You know, we follow the development of a chip, and it takes like a couple of years before it kind of fades off. Then we look at some programming languages like Java. There's a trend that goes with it. But, you know, this couple of years, what I'm seeing is a congruent of multiple fronts happening at the same time. And so this is both exciting and challenging because it depends how you look at it, right? So I think at the end of the day, in a nutshell, I think big data is going to be around. It's going to change the way we make decisions. It's going to change the way we think about our businesses, the way we live our life even, right? So it's not an option anymore for companies. You know, it's not a question of whether you do it or you don't. You have to, because if you really want to survive or be relevant in the next couple of years, you really have to adopt big data in your business.
And that was my conversation with Chiam Tat In. He's the Managing Director of CADS, talking about the importance of data to an organization and how CADS is empowering the next data scientists and professionals for the ever-changing industry in today's digital age. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.